It's playoff time here in Southern Nevada. High school football regular season is over. The stakes are lifted. A lot more exciting time. Case Kiefer here with Ray Brewer. Let's look back on how we got there. Two division titles were on the line Friday night. I'd say one upset and one favorite came in. What stood out to you in the Southeast and Northeast, Ray?
Well, you got to give credit where credit is due, and that goes to Canyon Springs. You could argue they might have got lucky in beating Vegas. The ball definitely did bounce Canyon Springs' way, but bottom line, they played defense. They came ready to play, and they smacked Vegas in the mouth, and Vegas did not respond. They responded a little bit late. They tied the game, Vegas did. You got to give them credit. Everybody in the stadium thought that Vegas was going to run away in overtime. Canyon Springs came back 22-21 in overtime. It was just amazing how it shifted. You know, Canyon Springs takes the lead. They're dominating defensively, smacking Vegas around. Turnovers. Vegas gets a late drive, rallies to win the game, or rallies to tie the game. Vegas gets the ball first in overtime, scores on two plays, and it was like, all right, let's get the bus started. There's no way Canyon's going to answer them. And they did answer them. And Kiefer, I don't know about Canyon Springs. You've seen a play. They're small up front, right? They really have no quarterback game throwing the ball, and yet here they are undefeated in the Northeast in the one seed.
Yeah, what I can say about Canyon Springs, and it's been a long time, but I did see them this year, and they looked, and I'm not trying to you know, put Canyon Springs down, but they looked terrible when I saw them, and I think their coach, Hunky Cooper, he always said, look, we're going to be a good football team when it's all said and done. We want to get in that final week where we have a chance to win a championship with Las Vegas. They did that. They won. Got me to even for the year on this podcast with our $5 bet. Got to be impressed with what they've done, but it's not going to get any easier because all the Southeast teams that made the playoffs are good. On the other side, the game I was at, Liberty and – oh, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
You want to talk about – this guy wants to talk about Liberty. We're 2 minutes, 22 seconds in, and you hadn't mentioned Liberty yet, and you felt guilty.
You're kind of throwing me off because look at the levels. Right now it looks like I'm on the microphone level that isn't loud. So I think this week you're going to be loud.
Switch real fast?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I'll just talk really close and really loud into it.
And I just wanted to say with Canyon, you felt good. You know, every year we see the same teams win. Gorman, Paolo, right? Vegas to a certain extent. And to see a new team win a league title and the way those kids reacted and how sincere Coach Hunky Cooper is with those kids, I mean, your hat's got to go off to them. You got to feel super good about them. And I just wanted to bring that up, how proud I was of Hunky and what he's done over there. I know that a lot of times, you know, Canyon Springs doesn't get as much respect and love as some of the other schools. But, you know, those kids really played some great defense and they rallied. And they're gamers. The kids in the Northeast, gamers. The one thing I forgot to mention to you, I called you about this. Folks, let us know the etiquette on this. Vegas' last drive of the game, they've got no timeouts. They're driving the length of the field. And on three straight plays, Canyon Springs players go down injured to where the trainer's got to run out. I know in youth football, which I didn't play, you're supposed to kneel down on an injury. Do you kneel down in high school football? What's the etiquette? Because Vegas was standing up and close to the ball, and the Canyon people are yelling, kneel down, show some class. What's the etiquette? I mean, I'm thinking I'm ready to stand and play. We're not Pop Warner.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of is that I don't know about the kneeling thing. I don't really know if that you have to do that in high school. I thought, you know, you kind of all gather in one place, like around the sideline, was my first reaction. But then, you know, you tell me the situation of the game, that there's only a couple minutes left, they need to score. I really don't have any problem with them lining up. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate. I don't think you're really disrespecting the player, but it's like, hey, we got to win this game too.
Yeah,
right.
Is there etiquette of any kind? I mean, I remember Tony Sanchez's first game as Gorman's coach. They played a team in Utah, and I went up for the game, and somebody got injured, and so all the Gorman players went to take a knee, and Tony went livid. He's like, don't take a knee. What are you doing? Sit down at the end of the game.
Yeah, I don't really like to take a knee. I mean, I would say I'm a guy that a proponent of maybe gather around your sideline, get some water, and hang out. But if it's the end of the game and you only have limited time left, I have no problem with lining up on the ball.
I mean, you're a big Georgia-Florida fan. Is Georgia taking...
I'm not a Florida fan. Georgia fan.
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, you're a big Georgia fan. Is Florida going to take a knee if Georgia gets hurt in the big cocktail game?
No, but they are probably classless, too. So
yeah.
But anyway, since you got to bring up one more thing, can I bring up one more thing?
Go ahead. All right, Before you bring up your Liberty pick.
You are getting all the glory, which you deserve. You're destroying me in the picks this year. You're up 6 games. I'm not going to catch you. But can I say one thing that I can hang my hat on?
Go ahead.
In this very podcast room, first podcast we did of the year, I went 4-4. 4-for-4, excuse me, on my divisional winner's picks. I had Canyon Springs and Liberty. You had Del Sol and Vegas. So there's some silver lining to my terrible year picking.
And there is. And in your defense, Del Sol didn't even make the playoffs. I guess we'll talk about the Southeast now, natural transition. 29-24, Del Sol beats Vegas to take the no. 29-24, Basic beats Del Sol. Basic gets the 4 seed. We'll talk about the matchup with Canyon later. Somebody told me that was one of the best high school games they've seen. Basic Del Sol. Chris Marshall rushes for 300 for the second straight week. Basic still rallies to win with their backup quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like a great game. I wasn't there. You got a feel for Chris Marshall. I mean, he had just a phenomenal career. I mean, how many games did we talk about him having like this, 300 yards or whatever, and it's going to end without the playoffs, and I'm sure Del Sol wanted to get there, but Basic has an awfully good team, too, and I know sometimes you are kind of negative about them, but they did what they needed to do to get in, and that was without their kind of rock at quarterback, so I think you got to be impressed with them eking out the win there.
Who is your Southeast MVP? The coaches are going to get together this week and vote about it. Is it Marshall, who dominated the league, but they didn't make the playoffs? Is it Aaron Love, who had Green Valley in first place until the recent slide and is starting to play like the stud we thought he is? Is it Kyle Keplinger, who was great? Is it Nico Capelli, who broke every school record?
Yeah, this is interesting because Rich Morocco, the Liberty coach, brought this up. I didn't even realize voting was coming. He said it has to be Keplinger or Capelli, not in those exact words, or something like that. This is just so hard for me. It's unfair, but I think Marshall's kind of out of it because the team didn't make the playoffs. I mean, the kid's phenomenal. I've said so many good things about him, but they didn't make the playoffs. I would have said Love easily 3 weeks ago, but they are on a slide now. I think stats-wise, it's Capelli, but I wouldn't vote for Capelli, and this might be unfair too, but the kid's a junior. I would be inclined to go with Love or Keplinger. After the last time, I might go with Keplinger because, all right, here's also what I'm thinking. If you take all those kids off their respective teams, who's going to be?
Would be the worst team in town without Chris Marshall.
Well, okay, I'm talking about playoffs. I take Marshall out because they didn't make the playoffs, which might be unfair.
Okay.
But if you take Love, Capelli, and Keplinger off their teams, who has the biggest fall off?
I would say
Green Valley. All right, so maybe Love still gets my vote. Maybe. It's tough, but Love or Keplinger, and I know that's not fair to Capelli, but, I mean, he's a junior. For an MVP, I'll go with, like, the senior leader, you know, so I'll go Love or Capelli, Keplinger.
One of my big problems with high school sports is how the senior plays over the younger classmen, how, oh, seniors are so special, and seniors, so I understand, you know, there's something cool about being a senior and having your, you know, your high school career and those 4 or 5 home games, but, I mean, I guess I'm making an argument now.
So are you voting for Capelli? I mean, stats-wise, I think he's the winner.
Well, yes, I'd like to. We should have this before we go on. But stats-wise, the difference between Capelli and Marshall and rushing yards?
What is it?
I don't know. We should have figured it out before we got in here.
Sorry, we did not do our research too well. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. That's another thing. I've mentioned that to you, that I think that's a lot more prevalent here than maybe where I came from, that if you have a kid that's only a little bit better as a sophomore than a senior, then the senior plays, which I think is bizarre and really weird. But if you're talking about end of the year awards, MVP, like the kid that leads the team, that's one area where I'm in favor of the senior. I'll take the senior.
I love how you see those homecoming floats at some of the homecoming games, and they always say, which class has the best float? And like, it's always the senior class, even though like I can't remember where I was at. I might have been at El Dorado. And the senior class had, like, a beat-up, like, 83 Corolla, you know, hauling some kind of like toothpick hut or something. It looked like they put it together in the parking lot, during the first half of the game. And like the sophomore class had like the best float I've seen in years, and the senior class won the best float.
That's I don't even know how to respond to that. I don't know why that is. I will say we should mention Foothill and Liberty, the game I was at senior night. I don't know why we're talking so much about seniors, but it was just a whole lot of fun. Crazy. No one really played any defense. 49-41. Liberty ended up winning, and it's a game that I think we're very likely to see again.
Do you really think that?
Yeah, I think that's what we are going
to
see again.
Start breaking down the playoffs.
I think we're going to see it again.
Lino, let me ask you this. Liberty is great. You love Liberty. Contrary to what people think, I think Liberty's a great team, great story. How did they give up 42 points? I mean, that doesn't scream playoff ready to me. 42?
You just
hate
Liberty.
Touchdowns.
Foothill's a really good team.
They can't be that good. I mean, they're good. I mean, it's great, but, I mean, 6 touchdowns.
So,
and the defense, I mean, defensively, you're supposed to tighten up late in the year in a championship game to get ready for the playoffs.
Well, you're playing against the best quarterback in Henderson, Drew Dockstader.
Well, there you go.
And
you see what kind of fan he is.
And the best receiver in Henderson, and Kyle Kepplinger, maybe the best, maybe the MVP, Kyle Kepplinger.
Yeah, and I would like to see Kyle Kepplinger get the rock more in the running game, for whatever it's worth. My 2 cents.
Yeah, I think he had 3 rushes for maybe 70 yards and a touchdown against Liberty, something like that. It was, like I said, a really good game. Not a lot of defense played, but, I mean, that was for both teams. So, Liberty gets the win.
All right, by the power of the internet, Case Kiefer, up-to-date stats, Nico Capelli. According to the Las Vegas Sun, very reliable. He's carried the ball this year, my friend, 250 times, including a stretch where he went 31, 33, 32, 38 carries for 1,625 yards, 19 touchdowns. Last week, he had 38 carries for 296. 2 weeks ago, against Aaron Love, he had 38 for 189.
I actually had him for 304 last week, but I think the official was 296, but I had him for 304.
Whatever it is. Okay, now, Chris Marshall, my man, 193 carries, which is 57 less than your boy Capelli, for 1544 and 17 touchdowns. So, Capelli's got 2 more touchdowns and about 80 more yards than Marshall on a few more carries. I will say Marshall closed with 306, 302, and then he had 317 against Foothill. However, against Coronado when they lost 17-0, he only had 79 yards. And I know people at Coronado are like, Brewer, give Coronado more love. The defense is actually pretty good.
Pretty good. It's one of the best in the whole region.
Yes, you're right. But I just still can't get... It's like whenever you say Coronado, you think, last place. And I know that's wrong to say, and the kids don't deserve that, but they did take last again.
So this pretty much just reiterates what I'm saying. I think it comes down to your philosophy. If you're a guy that votes on this MVP by stats alone, then it's Nico Capelli, in my opinion. If you are a guy like me, maybe, that for a high school football award is looking at kind of the senior leader who did the most for his team, I think it's between Kepplinger and Love.
Here, let me tell you what Love did real fast. Aaron Love, 5'7", 160, didn't play like that. He only had 1,257 rushing yards and 17 touchdowns. So he took a step back. So I don't even know if he's in the conversation. If you're looking at stats, if you're looking at value to team, which I don't know if value to team is part of being the MVP.
It's called the most valuable player.
Yeah, but it's most valuable player in the league, not on your team, right?
I always look at it as most valuable to your team. I mean, yeah,
okay.
I think
all
so.
All I know is that Andre Dawson was the MVP and the Cubs took last. Okay, Kepplinger.
When was that, 30 years ago?
Whatever, it's probably during my heyday. You were just a – okay. Kepplinger rushed 21 for 103 yards, and he caught 52 passes for 847 and 15 touchdowns. Had a touchdown in every game except the Coronado game. Go figure.
15, the Coronado game, exactly, because they're very good defensively. 15 receiving touchdowns is pretty impressive, and here's the thing we're not factoring in. Return touchdowns, and this works for Chris Marshall, too. Keplinger had quite a few of those, and I think Marshall did, too.
Okay, so I think we could eliminate Love from the conversation and say it's going to come between Keplinger, Marshall, and
Capelli.
So now the question is the winner of the three of those guys for Region Player of the Year, are they better than Pharrell Victor? Who
you were just setting me up for you were just setting me up for this so I could hit down Vegas. I don't know. All these guys are phenomenal. All these guys are great players.
It's tough to measure Vegas because of the league they're in.
Yeah, but all these guys are great. I'll take any one of them.
Okay, enough with breaking down who's the best. Folks, let us know who do you like better, Capelli, Keplinger, Love, or my boy, Chris Marshall. Send us a note.
Are you voting for Chris Marshall? You never said for sure.
I don't get a vote, but I'm petitioning for him. I mean, I'm part of his fan club.
All right, I don't
notice that I'm a big size guy. Aaron Love, small. Chris Marshall, smaller. Nico Capelli, built like a truck, but he's only, what, 5'8", 5'9", 5'10", maybe?
I don't know. I think pretty much the arguments I've made, and after looking at it, I think Capelli is the obvious choice. But I'm still just thinking that the whole senior leader thing, I just feel like it's kind of this mystique in high school football, and I know it's kind of stupid, but I might give my vote to Keplinger.
Okay, either way, it's a two-horse race. Let's look at the playoffs, Kiefer. We're going to start off in the easy region in terms of handicapping, the Sunset. First round, we got some real easy games. Chi-Town at Gorman. Gorman wasn't going to lose to Cheyenne anyways. Milo Lewis, who I think is one of the best juniors in town, Tyler Spite, both not playing. Crazy little problem against Centennial where they kind of got into it with each other, apparently. I say apparently because nobody knows who was involved. There's a little shindig, a little throwdown on the sideline from what I hear.
While they were winning the game, it sounds like.
While they were winning the game, Chi-Town. I'm telling you right now, Cheyenne has got so much talent. If somehow they could just get organized and eliminate all this garbage, I would love to see a Cheyenne team at full strength play Gorman because I think Milo Lewis would trap it up and play, in my humble opinion.
All right, but that's not going to happen.
You disagree, I could tell. I got Gorman winning big.
Me too.
Okay, another easy one. Palo, the only undefeated team in town. They're playing Durango. Should be a no-brainer. I will tell you, Marcus Williams is a pretty darn good player for Durango.
McQuaig's not bad either.
However, he's playing fullback, and I know he went over there to carry the rock, so I'm sure he's not too happy about it. I don't think Paolo gets any chance of being upset. I hope it doesn't happen because I want Paolo Gorman. I got Paolo winning big.
Yeah, I've got Paolo. Easy game.
Easy game. Okay, the next easy game. Arborview at Bonanza at Arborview. Bonanza, great season. Congratulations. Doing it with a lot of younger players. I think for what they did, hanging in there again, beating Durango, beating Silverado, hanging in there against Desert Oasis. They should have won that game. They were up at the first half. Okay, they lost big last week to Gorman. They're going to lose big again to Arbor. It kind of stinks that their season's going to end on two big losses like that because they did have a good year.
Yeah, here's the thing about Bonanza. I think you look at next year, they probably project as the second-best team in the Southwest. Do you disagree?
I'm always going to disagree with that.
I mean, Desert Oasis, everyone is graduating. Bonanza's the third-best team this year with a bunch of sophomores.
Well, okay, if you want to talk next year, I still think Durango's got McQuaig and Williams. Not that they're going to have anything around it, and it hasn't been that good for them this year. But I think DO has got a true program where they're good on the lower levels. Their lower-level teams actually didn't get killed by Gorman. And I think that potentially they got a sleeping giant over there. When that job was open, like 25 people applied for it. Why do you think? When the Shap job was open, they were looking for janitors to come take the gig that didn't even know the difference between a football and a soccer ball.
All right, right. Well, I still think Bonanza projects as the second best team here. You have them losing by –
I got them losing big, but are you going to go on record to say that in August when we do this to preview next year?
I'll pick Bonanza second. Yeah, I'm going on record right now. Hey, who am I going to pick one?
Yeah.
Gorman.
Okay, we agree on that.
Yeah, hey, I just want to say, while you say this is ridiculous, last year at this time, I said Canyon Springs was going to win the Northeast next year. What did they do? They won the Northeast. So there you go. Bonanza second last year, and my second big pro Bonanza pitch. I think they're going to keep it closer than the 39 points you have them losing by.
Oh, is this our game of the week?
I don't know.
What
I think,
were we going to do?
I think we're going to do one in the since it's the playoffs, we could bump it up to two.
Two games? Okay.
You want to give me a Bonanza plus 35?
Oh, $5.
All right, $5, Bonanza
I got the Aggies,
plus 35.
Which is tough with a running team. I got Arborview laying the chalk. $5.
Yeah, this is just easy money. I think Bonanza's going to keep it kind of close. Now I think we're going to go to what I consider at least the game of the week this week, because I really could see this going either way. Really looking forward to it. Centennial and Desert Oasis. Diamondbacks, Bulldogs. I'm going to be out there at the game. What do you think, Brewer?
Well, I just got done building up Desert Oasis, but they're really a tough team to crack. Because one, with the exception of Kyle Henry, who's been banged up at times this year, they're pretty undersized. Okay? I know they like to run their spread stuff. I know that they're a good program. They're second best over there to Gorman. They got a lot of players. But they lost to Foothill. They got buried by Gorman. And they struggled against Bonanza, who you like, but I still think is pretty undersized. So how are they going to do against a big, nasty, physical team from the Northwest? Dude, Cimarron, I think, is the second or third best team in a few leagues, and they didn't even make the playoffs over there. The Northwest is powerful lineup running at you, no doubt about it. And that's why I'm taking Centennial. I think it's going to be close because I think Dio is better than last year. Of course, last year, Centennial went in there as the 3 seed and beat Dio. The one thing I worry about is, from what I hear, and I don't know if it's true, but some people tell me that Centennial, Kiefer, is not a big and physical Northwest team, that it's just a team that is kind of soft and not aggressive.
Yeah, I don't know
and
about
if that's
that.
That's the case I like
to eat. I only saw Centennial once, but I thought they hit pretty hard. They were pretty tough. I think this is maybe even a pick'em game. Maybe Centennial, a really slight favorite. I've got Centennial for a lot of the same reasons you said. I think they are going to be more physical, but I mean, I would not be surprised at all if Desert Oasis won this game. They feel really good about themselves. They've just been blowing everyone out after the first 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks with Bonanza. But,
exactly.
I mean, even Durango, they won by like 17. I'm impressed with them.
They haven't played a game since September.
All right, either way, I'm impressed with them, but I'm going Centennial.
Okay, like I said, our boss, Rob Curley, his kids go to Desert Oasis. He's going to reprimand us for picking against them, but I just don't see a team from the Northwest, let alone a team like Centennial, who won a playoff game last year, who's got a Division I kid, who's got a kid like Jacoby Owens running the rock, baby. I don't see them losing. I think I like the Centennial even more now.
Yeah, before we came in here, you said you couldn't even decide.
As a coin flip, but okay.
All right, well this will probably be close. This will probably be quick because I think I know what we're all going to do, but we're going to pick the rest of this region. The next round, games to be played next Thursday.
Love that idea.
Both you and I have...
Playoff game on a Thursday. Hate to cut you off.
Hey, selfishly, it works for me, so that's whatever. Gorman and... Who will they be
Arbor.
Playing? Arbor. Gorber and Gorman and Arbor. Unless
well,
Bonanza pulls the shocker.
Kiefer, you like the movies, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I like movies.
What's the theory? Anytime you try to do a sequel, it's even worse, right?
Yeah,
for
the most part, yeah.
We've already seen Gorman Arbor 1. We know what happens, right?
Right.
Okay, players on Arbor know what happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to change, baby. Give me Gorman.
Yeah, I've got Gorman, too, and don't really have anything to add to that other than that Gorman is a very good football team.
Really?
Yeah. Palo Verde, Centennial. another sequel for you if it comes
another
to fruition.
Sequel. It's so crazy. It'll be the same semi-matchups as last year, and Palo rolled through Centennial last year. And that was a pretty close game last year.
I think they won like 29-0 or something like that. Right?
I think they pulled away at the end.
Okay.
Anyways, here's my deal on this game. Palo really made Centennial look bad. Remember, Centennial opened with Vegas and Arbor, and then they got to Palo, and they were kind of mentally worn out a little bit. But I will tell you that if this Centennial team is as physical as I think it might be, even though they didn't look like that against Palo, but this is a nice little rivalry between the two schools. You've been to the basketball version of this. They get fired up to play. I know there's a few kids on Palo's roster who went to Centennial at one point. And I think the rivalry part of this and the crunch time is going to make it closer than we think. But nonetheless, I like Palo.
At least the basketball version is competitive. I mean, either team could win on any given night, at least last year. It's just not competitive in football. Palo is going to win big.
Okay, could I cut you off real fast?
Go ahead.
I got to give a shout-out to Palo Verde's freshman team. They went undefeated for the 13th straight year or whatever it is. I got an email from a listener.
I can't believe I was going to do this. I forgot you got the email. I got one of the kids on the team actually leaving me a voicemail. Wow. He said, you got to give the freshman and JV team going undefeated. I listen to the podcast all the time. So see, you give us feedback, we will mention you.
Did
Palo Verde undefeated.
Undefeated?
I'm pretty sure the kid said both the JV and freshman team went undefeated.
For some reason, I thought the JVs lost to Arbor, and Arbor JV beat Gorman JV.
Okay, maybe it was only the freshman, the kid. If you would have left your name, you would have gotten some love on here. But all he said was just please mention the freshman went undefeated, and maybe he said the JV went 8-1 or something.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the freshman teams having success. Foothill, for example, never puts up its freshmen. They keep them together. They want them to win together, learn how to play together, get stronger together. I think that's a great theory. Anytime a program has a good freshman team, I think it carries over. I'm not a big fan of a JV team doing good because, to be honest with you, the JVs are sophomores and a handful of juniors that aren't ready for varsity, in my humble opinion.
I mean, I don't even think that's really opinion. I just think it's true.
Okay. And then also, I think Green Valley's freshmen went undefeated. They beat your Liberty Patriots, according to an email I got.
Well, there you go. But Liberty went undefeated when it mattered, and that was in the actual league. Let's knock this out. Palo at Gorman to finish off the region. Hey, to me, and I know it's not going to be this way for you, this is all you look forward to. To me, that was just a lot more intrigue in this game last year. This year, I just think Gorman is so good that I'm really not even that excited for this game. I think Gorman is going to kind of roll them.
Well, see, and that's where I disagree. I think Palo Gorman, you take the records out of the window. Palo plays great defense this year. You can't dispute that, right?
Yeah, no, they do.
Okay, they play
definitely
good defense, and they've got the offense where they're able to control the clock a little bit. And I bring back that USC Notre Dame game from a few weeks ago. USC had those drives that took up chunks of the clock, kept Notre Dame off the field. The only way Palo's going to be able to beat Gorman is put their good defense in a chance to be successful with good field position. And when you're on offense, kill the clock. I'd even say if you're breaking free for the end zone, leg down. I mean, what are you going to give Gorman the ball? Because you give Gorman the ball, they're going to score.
Yeah, I mean, nothing more than I want. I really want to be wrong here. I want Palo to give them a great game and give us something to talk about. But just seeing that Gorman offense, I mean, I don't care how good your defense is. I don't think Palo has seen a team that can throw like that. I mean, even if they shut down Shaq Powell, which is a huge if because the kid is electric, I mean, do you have the corners to stop? I mean, a new Solomon just looks amazing this year.
What's the difference between, and we're talking Palo Gorman way too early, but trust me, the 6,000 people there last year said it's the only game that matters. But what's the difference between Palo and Gorman this year and last year? One player, Brandon Wright?
I don't know. I just maybe I'm totally wrong, and people could tell me I'm wrong. But I had more of a sense that last year's Palo team could beat Gorman than this year. I picked Palo last year from the beginning, and I think
you picked Bonanza last year too.
I think Brandon Wright was a big part of that because I thought Brandon Wright was probably going to be the best player on the field, which that's very debatable if that's true, but that's what I thought at this point last year.
What would you set the line at Gorman Palo this year's game? We know it's going
to
happen.
You were just setting this up for everyone at Palo to get mad at me.
No, you already said before I even said anything, you were throwing Palo under the bus. If I'm a Liberty hater, which I'm not, then you're a Palo hater, which you're clearly not either.
I picked Palo to beat Gorman last year. This year, I think the line's probably...
And I picked Capelli as the best player in the league.
I think the line this year is probably...
Checking your phone for something? Is it going to come?
28, maybe? 27. 28.
Okay, because we had the line at, what, 40 for the Arbor-Gorman game?
Right.
And Arbor only lost to Palo by 7, and they lost to Gorman by 77 or whatever it was.
That's true, but I don't know. I think I'm going to make it 28. 28 okay. It is.
28. Just so we agree, Gorman's going to win the region.
Right. Well, what would you make the line, just out of curiosity?
It's just tough because, you know, while Palo's had a nice little year, who have they really played? They played Canyon when it was the Canyon's players' first time on varsity, right? They beat Arbor, what was in a great game, but it was in September. And I know the Northwest is tough every week. Don't get me wrong. But I just don't know. I don't know, dude. We'll have to talk about it when we get there.
All right.
I got to get my thoughts together.
All right, let's go to the Sunrise. We're going to pick through this one as well. Close game to get us started. Valley at close. I keep saying close, when I mean quick. There's like something wrong with my brain. A quick game to get us started. Valley at Liberty. I've got Liberty big.
Can't figure out how a team with the losing records in the playoffs, but Valley and Anthony Sanders, a three-year varsity starter, is going to go over there. And I'm really looking for Liberty here, Case. We know they're going to win, but Liberty needs to make a statement when they win. The defense has to recover from giving up 42 points. You know, Valley was losing to Shap. They should have lost to Shap. They're not that good of a team. They got maybe one or two good players. Kerwin Williams' brother, whose first name escapes me, and Anthony Sanders. Liberty needs to pound it down their throat. They need to play crisp defense, no mistakes, make a statement. They're the favorite to win this thing. They're the Gorman of the Sunrise.
Yep, Liberty easy. Let's move on to the next game, which I think is going to bring another $5 bet because you just will not give up on Desert Pines. I guess because Del Sol is out, you have to have someone to attach your wagon to. Desert Pines at Foothill. You have Desert Pines winning this game. It's got me so fired up. I can't even imagine. If you've seen Foothill this year, how could you possibly think Desert Pines could beat this team?
I just think that Desert Pines is big and physical up front. They got a D1 kid running the rock. They got a good backup. And those kids from the Northeast, they're gamers, and they come to play. And Foothill gave up 49.
They really came to play that game they lost to Rancho. And that game they went up to Utah and lost by 50 or whatever to some team.
The Utah team came down here.
Whatever.
My Jaguars, we were up at halftime. And they just weren't in condition anymore.
Oh, Foothill's in good condition, I can tell you that. So they're going to run all over the field on them.
They had a 49 last week.
Yeah, so?
Okay, and I do think a big part of Foothill's game is Keplinger at wide receiver. And Leon Hayes is going to be on him, shutting him down the whole time. Leon Hayes going to UTEP, Division I, if you're familiar with that. And I just think this is a match. I know. You look at it, you know, Desert Pines has got a losing record. I've been on them all year, okay, but I know that Desert Pines is going to be bigger up front, and I know that Desert Pines is going to be able to run the rock, and I think they're going to be able to slow down the Keplinger kid. Now, the quarterback, Dockster, or how do you say it?
Dockstader.
Same guy. He's a sophomore. This will be his first playoff action. He hasn't played like a sophomore all year. He's looked great. He's the best quarterback in the league, probably the best sophomore thrower in town. But I'm just going out on a limb. You got to pick some upsets here. I'm taking DP. You're taking Foothill.
Yeah, what do you want? Do you want Desert Pines plus 10.5?
Oh, for 5?
Yeah, for 5.
Oh, I'm up now. I got what, Arbor minus 35?
Yeah.
And DP plus 10.5?
Sure.
We got to get a pen.
I'll remember it. Trust me. I think Foothill wins this game big, at least 3 touchdowns for me. Let's go on. Basic at Canyon Springs. Another game that could be the best this week. Basic is the 4 seed, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I think that Eddie Vega coming back, I like this team. I think they're going to march up to Canyon Springs and pull the upset.
And I like your logic. Basic, they were beating Foothill pretty good until Vega got hurt 2 weeks ago. They contained Chris Marshall and beat Del Sol. They should have beat Green Valley, but they couldn't get out of their own way. They should have beat Cimarron, but they couldn't get out of their way. With the exception of getting killed by Liberty, Basic has been in every game and arguably should have won. Fair to say?
Yeah, fair to say, because the Foothill game, too, they were up, I think, 28-3 or something like 21-3.
However, for some reason, this Basic team shoots itself in the foot. Turnovers, whatever it is, young play, who knows what it is.
They've got a little bit of Silverado in them, is what you're trying to say.
Silverado in them. Canyon, on the other hand, we know their history. They were awful against Palo in the first week. They were lucky to beat Desert Pines. They lost embarrassingly to Foothill in a game you were at, right? And then they just played passionately and aggressively against Vegas, smacked them in the mouth. And I just think I'm picking Canyon because I think that if this defense could contain Pharrell Victor, they're going to contain what Basic has to offer. I was real impressed with the defense. Those kids came ready to play. It's a home game. They won at home last year in the playoffs against Silverado. They should have won the year before against Liberty. And I think they got so much momentum from last week. I like C Springs.
C Springs? I love that chant, but I'm going Basic. Look at how well things have worked out for Las Vegas. This team, if they would have won, they're playing Basic, which I think is a lot tougher game for them. Now they play Green Valley, who is on just an awful skid. I think Green Valley's lost three in a row. Vegas, Green Valley. I can't believe it, but I'm picking Las Vegas. I think Vegas is going to win this game.
I can't disagree with you. In fact, I think the loss for Vegas is kind of an eye-opener for them. They'd really cruised through their schedule, and offensively, quite frankly, they just weren't that good on Friday. Canyon really smacked them around, bro. I mean, and you know me, I'm the biggest Vegas fan in this part of the city. And Vegas got hit in the mouth, and they backed down. There's no other way around it. And they had a hard time getting Pharrell the ball in space. And for them, I think it's an eye-opener. And even Coach Thurman said this, Casey. He said, we got to get better. I got to get better. And I think they come out, and they're very crisp against Green Valley. I think they make a statement. Green Valley, great story to start the year. They've really fallen off. I think the roof has caved in. Still probably a little bit to hang their hat on for next year.
Agreed. I like Las Vegas here, which is going to set up the game that you all year said we were going to see in the finals, Vegas and Liberty. And I know you're just going to be ridiculous and pick Las Vegas here. So you don't even have to tell us the pick. Just tell us why in the world do you think Las Vegas can even come close to beating Liberty?
Well, if there's one, here's the deal. I texted you this during the Vegas Canyon game, basically about how I'm having buyer's remorse right now with Vegas.
I didn't remember that. So maybe you aren't picking Vegas.
No, I did. You didn't get that text?
I just don't remember it. Okay. So are you still picking Vegas, or are you jumping off?
No. I'm not. Listen, if there's one thing you know about me is that I'm loyal, and I'm sticking with Vegas. But I'm telling you what, I'm really searching for reasons to like them. They were that bad. I know that the Sunrise is really up and down right now, and that you can make an argument for four or five teams to win the whole thing, right?
I think you can make an argument for maybe, yeah, okay, yeah, I guess you could say that.
I at least can make an argument. DP, Foothill, Vegas.
DP, oh God, this is just hilarious. All right, go ahead.
DP, Vegas, in my opinion, Canyon, Foothill, and Liberty, I think you can make an argument for, right?
Sure, so we'll let you think that.
And then if Basic beats
Canyon,
then they got Foothill, which they've already beat, right?
Right. Almost beat.
Yeah, they got a very winnable game. Basic could be in the finals. So I'm just saying, the way the Sunrise is, where any team could win, Case, why not Vegas? They got two of the best players. They do play good defense, and they got a great kicker.
Jay Maddox.
He's great.
Yep.
Now, Liberty hasn't – This isn't Liberty circa 2010, dude. Okay, this Liberty team has flaws.
They have flaws, but I think they're winning by a bigger margin average than last year.
42 points.
Yeah, well, let's look at go back and look at last year. They were winning some of these games, 36-31, and having to come back in the final 2 minutes for making dumb mistakes. I bet that they're winning by a better margin of victory in the Southeast than they did last year.
You're asking me why I like Vegas. I told you about the parity. And all I know is that Liberty struggled against, looked bad against Arborview. You were there.
Liberty, I agree. Liberty better on offense this year than last year, not as good on defense, in my opinion.
Okay. Struggled against DP, which apparently sucks, but struggled against sucky DP, right? Lucky to beat Coronado, right? Even a Coronado apparently is approved.
Coronado played everybody tough in the whole league, except for Basic.
Fair enough. And then gave up 42 points last week to Foothill. 42 points. Now you're thinking, okay, let's think, Case, that
41, top, missed extra point.
40, whatever it is. In the 40s, too many. Now you're thinking top teams in town, Palo, Gorman. Are they giving up 42 points? No. 41?
I don't put Liberty as high as those two teams.
Okay.
I put them next behind our review.
Fourth best team. Is Vegas giving up 41 points?
Yes.
To who?
I can tell you Liberty can definitely put up 41 points on Vegas.
I guarantee you.
They almost did last year. Where they put up 36, 35?
Well, here's what happened last year, and I saw this firsthand in the Canyon game. Vegas got smacked around, and they just folded their tents, bro. And there was a second there against Canyon where Canyon was blitzing Vegas, and their offense was sputtering, and those kids were getting hit pretty hard. And I'm telling you right now, I saw what happened against Vegas right there, against Liberty right there. The book is out on how to beat Vegas, and it's not too hard to read. Bring the house and hit them hard.
All right, yeah. Well, I see no way Vegas beats Liberty in that round. I got Liberty. Let's go to the next game. You have Canyon Springs and Foothill, the rematch. I have Basic and Foothill.
No, dog. I got CPDP.
Oh, I can't. I totally forgot you had picked Desert Pines. Canyon Springs and Desert Pines, the rematch. So I can't believe that you were actually going to pick a Desert Pines Las Vegas Sunrise final here. That would be one of the worst final games in the history of Southern Nevada if those two teams made it. But go ahead. Tell us why Desert Pines is going to win.
Well, I just think that Desert Pines was better than Canyon the first time they played. If it wasn't for apparently a fake punt call late in the game, they would have won.
All right. Well,
listen, it works out. I know my logic is kind of crazy on this, and I know that your sample size here is the last 3 years because you've been here the last three.
That's
years.
True. That is true.
Okay, and the town is the power has shifted kind of over here, and I'm dating back to 2000 when the Northeast just rock and rolled over everybody with those athletes, and maybe it's to a fault for me because I just see these kids at DP in Vegas, and I'm like, whoa, look at that, woo, they're gonna run, dog. I mean, they're ready to play. They're going to strap it up. They're going to have swagger. They're going to smack you in the mouth, and here we go. And these are just these slow kids from Henderson. And it's not that way anymore, and I'm wrong at that, but I still just can't see Foothill beating DP. I just don't see it. I'm blind to the fact. If I'm Paul Bennett, I get big said, and I run behind that dude every play. Every play.
All right. Well, just so if you've made it this far and you're still listening, take a mental note that Brewer has picked the Northeast over the Southeast in every single game in this region except Liberty over Valley. Just keep a note of that. We're going to see how that works out for him. My game would be Basic Foothill, and I think that would be just a classic. I think it could go either way, but I can't pick against Foothill. I would go with Foothill to win the game to set up a Foothill-Liberty final.
Wow, you could run for mayor at both, class president at both schools.
All right, so you've got Desert Pines and Las Vegas for the Sunrise title. Who do you have winning that game?
I'm taking the Kitty Cats, baby. You know me.
Really?
I have to.
Aren't they both Kitty Cats? Wildcats, Jaguars?
Yeah.
They both are, really.
Yeah, okay. Either way, I can't leave my Vegas pick. It'd be easy for me and convenient for me to take Liberty. Liberty is the clear-cut favorite. Liberty is the Green Bay Packers. Liberty is, you know, Alabama or LSU or Florida.
Florida? What? Right. The team with a losing record.
Yeah. So I just got to pick Vegas.
All right. My game would be Liberty Foothill, a game I'm really interested in seeing again, but I'm taking Liberty. I think we're going to see Liberty Gorman. And I think you in your heart of hearts thinks that too, but I guess you're going to end up going
Vegas Gorman. Let me ask you this real fast. I know we've gone on for 43 minutes. How many times have you picked against Liberty in the last 2 years?
I picked them to lose to Foothill last year. I picked them. Didn't I pick against them once this year, I think?
I don't know. I mean,
I've picked against them a few times for sure. I picked Silverado to beat them. Come on, you cannot give me anything when I pick Silverado to beat them.
I'm just saying that you got a red shirt on today.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but I don't see Liberty losing. I see Liberty going all the way to Gorman, road to Gorman for the Liberty Patriots.
And I can't disagree with y'all too much because there's part of me that would like to see that game as well. I think it would be the most challenging game.
All right, well, that does it. We'll keep you up to date every week on the playoffs. Prep Sports Now, thanks for listening.